Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Are your wiper blades chattering, skipping, or squeaking? Don't let streaks or smearing on your windshield compromise your visibility. When it's time to replace your wiper blades, stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts and see our selection. Our professional parts people will even install your new wiper blades while you wait. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
If you want to go further and add some fun and versatility into your hunting program, check out Can-Am's Defender. Pretty soon I'm headed to my buddy Doug's, and we're going to be running around in Doug's Can-Am because it's like, it's fun. You can get around quietly, easily, all over his property. It's just versatile. Oh, I love it. To find your next Can-Am or to shop online and get serious about backcountry travel, visit CanAmOffroad.com. Turn something that you kind of dread driving around into something you love. Visit CanAmOffroad.com. Many of you know Axis deer is considered to be the best tasting venison on the planet. I've been hearing that for years. And that those deer cause some ecological harm. Well, Maui Nui Venison is bringing those Axis deer to the market, so you can get some fresh cuts and sticks shipped to your door. Visit MauiNuiVenison.com. That's M-A-U-I-N-U-I Venison.com. Use promo code MEATEATER for 20% off your order.
It's a MEATEATER podcast.
Welcome to Meat Eater Trivia, the only game show where conservation always wins. I'm your guest host, Dr. Randall Williams, PhD. Today we're joined by Giannis Patelis, Ryan Callahan, Spencer Newharth, Corey Calkins, Corinne Schneider, Hunter Spencer, Brody Henderson, and our special guest today, Brian the Butcher Harmon. Brian, welcome.
Thanks for having me.
This is a 10-round quiz show with questions from Meat Eater's four verticals, which are hunting, fishing, conservation, and cooking. And there is a prize. Meat Eater will donate $500 to the conservation organization of the winner's choosing. Brian, this is your first time playing Meat Eater Trivia. How do you feel about your chances?
My expectations are very low.
Fantastic. Given your profession, I'd just like to note that this is a contest in which you want to have the high score.
Why don't you tell
the folks at home
traditional
what you do.
Trivia.
Yeah. As opposed to golf. Before diving into the stat of the week, I would like to note that I am simply reading from a script prepared by Spencer for the next few minutes. I'm grateful for his preparation. Each week here on Trivia, we reveal a new stat. For the stat of the week this week, we're looking at my own performance. On average, I get 70% of questions right. In the hunting category, it's 68%. In the fishing category, 67%. In the conservation category, it's 72%. And in cooking, it's 70%. It's really no surprise that I excel in trivia because I am, after all, a doctor.
Well, I didn't write that part.
Oh,
you know,
come
Randall,
on now.
Like 70% in schools, like barely a C.
I know. I'm horrified by looking at this.
C's get degrees, and then what they say?
Grandpa the surgeon would say, "You know what C got you in medical school?" He's like, "You
a degree?
Became a doctor."
Yeah.
Randall, I trust you as a doctor.
Really?
Mm-hmm. I think I would.
Because I'm calm and cool under pressure.
Yes. Yeah. That's
fantastic.
Exactly it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You seem like you'd have good bedside manner. I could trust you.
Yeah, I'm good at putting on the face, right?
Oddly aloof, like most good surgeons are.
How do you know what most good surgeons are like?
I've had to go see a couple. Okay. Not a lot of work. Sucks.
That's a compliment, Randall.
Thank you. Yeah, I mean we're just getting to know each other, but apparently he's got a good read. Here's our 0%er question of the week, which tests how much knowledge players have retained from previous games. This question was from episode 456. The topic was woodsmanship, and nobody got it right. Merriam-Webster defines this five-letter word as, quote, a spout inserted in a tree to draw off sap.
I forgot it already.
Yanni, you were here. Here for that. Brody was here.
I was here, yeah.
I
no
was
recollection.
Here. I didn't.
I'm going to say spigot.
That's
more
six.
Than five letters.
Did I get it right?
No. Do we give up? I think we should. The correct answer was spile. S-P-I-L-E. The
not one that sticks with you.
No, no. I remember thinking that I didn't like this question when I first heard it, and then I read it again when Spencer sent me this email, and it aggravated me once more. Mm-hmm. The incorrect answers given were stipe, spout, spike, and crank.
All of which make more sense.
Yes. We also have some housekeeping to get to. In a previous game of trivia, we had a question about the New River Gorge National Park. And while I was taking a victory lap at my correct answer, I talked about an ancient river that was there before the New River. I pronounced the Old River as the Tees River, but listener Brent Brash wrote in to let me know that it's actually the Tees River. I guess I should have gotten a doctorate in English instead of philosophy.
That's a weird thing for you to say, Randall.
I know. I know. My degree is in history, though.
Oh, you need to update your LinkedIn then. That's where I got that information.
Well, I don't want
to
get
you're
into
lying
it.
To somebody.
I don't
want to
get into advanced degrees here.
But his multiple advanced degrees. He just got one on the side while he was getting it.
Why would your LinkedIn say philosophy then? Who are you trying to impress?
So in the academic world, it's always a doctor of philosophy, like a doctor of you don't become a doctor of history. You have a doctor of philosophy in history.
Oh,
yeah.
Room goes quiet. School
room goes quiet.
Let's not for you people.
Now, the Sydney index for today's round is a 3, so our winner should get 6, and I feel pretty good about that. With that, we're on to our game of trivia. Play the drop, Phil.
Look, I'm...
It's so neat watching these kids live out their dreams. You know? That's everybody's a winner here today.
Yeah, this is my nightmare.
Yeah, we watched... A lot of kids got nice bucks over the weekend, but it's not stacking up to this moment right here.
I feel like I'm in the Santa suit right now.
Don't you feel a little bit good, though? Because you should feel like you have a little better chance of winning today, being that he's not playing.
Oh, no, that's not.
Steve said he didn't want a guest host because he couldn't win, and I'm happy to be guest hosting because I can't lose. So actually,
philosophy.
I feel while I don't like the camera trained right at me, I feel comfortable knowing I won't walk out of here with a big old L on my forehead.
I think you're doing great, man.
Thanks,
guest
Brody.
Host. So far, you're the best one.
Thanks, Brody.
Sometimes I'm the loser.
Wow, fighting words,
Randall. Sometimes I do lose. So there's a chance you could take an L here.
Now, do you have any trivia questions for us?
I do. Let's move on. Thanks, all. Question number one. The category of firearms. Oh, you put the answer on the board. Oh, no, you didn't. Never mind. The acronym SAMI, most commonly associated with specifications for firearm cartridges, stands for what? And this is a multiple choice question. Your options are A, Standards of Arms and Ammunition Manual for Industry, B, Shooters and Arms Makers International, C, Sporting Arms and Ammunition Manufacturers Institute, or D, Scientific Ammunition Accuracy Measurement and Inspection. That's a lot of syllables, guys, and I nailed them all.
You got the longest question ever already.
I know. I just realized that as I was reading it
Spencer
aloud.
Spencer never does the ABCD, but I did in this case just because I don't think people are going to want to write all that stuff.
You know this one, Brody?
We'll find out.
Okay.
We've got an answer from Brody.
I got an answer.
We've got an answer from Ryan Callahan.
I've looked at a lot of Sammy specs, but boy, I can't tell you.
You used to do a lot of reloading, didn't you?
Can't tell you what it stands for.
You got any 30-06 reloads laying around?
Yes.
Willing to.
How are we feeling? We ready? We ready for a reveal? Corey, we've got an answer?
Yes, sir.
Oh, wait, give me. I lost my marker. This is very important. I'm sorry, Randall.
Bam.
I'll continue to keep everyone's attention while Phil looks for his marker.
Is that what vamp means?
I don't know. It's that's stage terminology, I think.
Vamp, like fill space.
Yeah.
Talk.
Did I do it enough?
You did it great. I found it.
Okay, great. Why don't we flip our answers over here? Brian the Butcher has A, Hunter, A, Corey, D, Spencer, C, Brody, B, Cal A, Corinne A, and Giannis A. We have a correct answer in the room. The answer is C. Oh. Sporting Arms and Ammunition Manufacturers Institute.
Did purely you know that, guess. Spencer? Purely a guess.
Who had C there? Anyone?
Spencer.
I did.
Corinne had it and X'd out.
I noted that. I noted that, but in the moment, I couldn't keep track of what I was just so focused on reading the names and answers.
Cal was so quick to that A, too.
Yeah.
You looked at it, you're like, this is a no-brainer. Well, like, you could have named it without.
It, like, Institute is redundant. Like, I feel like we know it's the Institute.
Are you challenging me on the name of this organization?
No, I'm just explaining why I got it wrong.
He's just like, that's a stupid name.
The correct answer is C, Sporting Arms and Ammunition Manufacturers
Institute. I think it's a stupid name.
I think Sammy should change their name.
That's why I changed my answer.
Thank you.
Formed in 1926, Sammy is an accredited developer of standards for safety, reliability, and interchangeability in firearm, ammunition, and component manufacturers. You'll commonly hear of Sammy approving the latest new cartridge that goes to market, and you'll often hear the phrase Sammy spec used among hand loaders or rifle builders. And here's a fun fact for you. Sammy was among the leaders in the effort to rally firearms and ammunition manufacturers to support the Pittman-Robertson Act.
Hmm. Giannis, did you used to push your loads past the Sammy specs?
No, sir.
Oh, it's been done.
I tried to think about if I was the host there, which ones would I come up with? And I thought A and D were Randall. So then I was down to B and C, and I just guessed for C.
You know, I've never had so much fun trying to come up with made-up acronyms.
Okay. Well, then you haven't played the board game Balderdash. You should play that.
That's absolutely true.
Okay.
Question two is hunting. Two species of this animal are the only trophies scored and recorded in the Boone and Crockett Club record book by a measurement of its two prominent front teeth. Two species of this animal are the only trophies scored and recorded in Boone and Crockett by a measurement of its two prominent front teeth.
So the answer is one animal, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Got it. Bro, do you know this?
I'm not going to say anything
I
get one right.
If the answer was the northern robin and the southern robin, mm-hmm. you'd just say robin.
Okay.
I'm trying to stay away from mammals.
Yanni, I got this one right. Starting out 2-0 here.
I don't think he's the only one.
Good for you. Are you giving us a little lesson in smack talking today?
No, I'm not.
Scored by two front teeth.
Got to be the timber tiger.
We all good? No. Looks like we're still waiting on a couple answers here.
Saber-tooth cat.
Oh. I can only think of one animal with big teeth, front teeth.
Oh, but how are those teeth? What are we getting with the front teeth? Are they, if it's smiled, like...
We're out of questions.
God dang it. No.
That's the time. Thanks, Phil. Why don't we flip our boards over and see who's got it? We got a couple.
Got nothing.
Brian the Butcher's got nothing.
Got nothing.
Hunter says bear. Corey says bear. Spencer says walrus. Brody says walrus. Cal says all of his answers are crossed off. Yeah. Elephant. Corinne says mountain lion.
Like beaver.
Giannis says walrus. The correct answer is walrus. To score a walrus, you add together the length of each loose tusk as well as four circumference measures of each. An all-time Boone and Crockett Atlantic walrus must score at least a 95, while an all-time Pacific walrus must score at least 100. The take of walruses has been prohibited since 1972 under the Marine Mammal Protection Act. The current all-time Pacific walrus, scoring 147 and 4/8, was picked up in 1997 by Ralph Young, who located the massive trophy while flying the shores of Bristol Bay beachcombing in his Super Cub.
Two species, please? What are the two species of walrus?
Atlantic walrus and Pacific walrus.
Okay.
Two species of this animal. So it's the two.
So those
how
are
do you measure a hippo?
I missed that part of the question.
They're not
the
in the Boone and Crockett
Club
record
only
book.
Measures North American animals.
Totally. That's part of the question.
Does an Atlantic walrus differ much from a Pacific?
Just
walrus?
A little smaller, it seems.
Okay.
Or
Or it's teeth.
Are we good with the answer?
Yes. We're very satisfied.
Our next question comes in the category of conservation, sort of. Sort of. I didn't really label this one very... Let's just go with it.
Nobody cares.
Yeah, maybe that was just an error in transposition between my various documents. Jack Olson's classic 1969 book, Night of the Grizzlies, which details the fatal maulings of two young women in Glacier National Park, was originally a three-part article for what popular magazine? Anybody reading magazines back in 1969?
No.
No. Phil, how are we doing?
You're doing great.
We good on time?
This is fantastic. We're doing, yeah, just perfect on time.
How's my, am I sitting at the right height? I feel my posture collapsing.
You know, the more questions you ask me, the less sort of confident you sound. Maybe just
I just want to get it right. I just want to get it right. It seems like we have answers from almost everybody in the room. We ready to go to answers here?
Whoa, you're really rushing us, man.
Yeah.
Like, you're not even giving us time to change our mind.
I see all these boards down.
Like, suss out the competition.
I think the listeners prefer the action.
Or you could take a second and ask me, Corinne, and Hunter about Phil's play that we went to on Friday.
I'll save that for another question.
Oh, okay.
I'm going to ask Corey, are you confident in your answer?
No, not at all.
Great.
I still haven't decided yet. That's why I'm trying to encourage some crosstalk here. Uh-huh.
Cal? Oh.
No.
Cal Bob broke his whiteboard there.
I'm getting some bad vibes from Cal right now. I don't think he likes what I'm doing here.
No, I actually quite like the pace as
okay.
well.
Okay, fantastic.
Randall, can I ask you how confident you are in my answer?
I feel pretty good.
You think anybody has this right?
I bet someone.
I bet if you kept the pace high, we could have more answers and thus more learning.
I'm trying to accommodate Brody.
I'm accommodated.
Okay, we're sufficiently accommodated in the back. The answer is Sports Illustrated.
Oh, wow. wait, whoa.
What?
You didn't ask us to
We didn't reveal our answers yet.
Read the answers from everybody.
Yeah, okay. So that's why I need to focus on what I'm doing instead of this band.
You just completely psyched yourself out the last 2 minutes.
I'm guessing nobody got
Hunter
that, right?
Says Field and Stream. Brian says National Geographic. Corey, Outdoor Life. Spencer, National Geographic. Brody says National Geographic. Cal says Outdoor Life. Corinne says Outdoor Life. Giannis says Time. That is a zero percenter. Add to the list.
There we go.
Olson's painstakingly researched account of the August 1967 killings of Julie Helgeson and Michelle Coons in two separate areas of the park stands as the definitive account of this tragedy, so much so that the event itself is most often referred to by the title of his book. The May 26th issue of Sports Illustrated featured a cover headline that read, "The Grizzly, Enemy of Man? Must he be exterminated? Question Whoa. Mark. And included a letter from publisher Gary Volk, who wrote the following. "It is hard to accept the fact that the zoo image is not the real image, and that the captive bear conceals his hatred of man only because he has no choice. We hope the menacing grizzly shown on this cover will help reinforce Olson's conclusion that man and bear cannot peacefully coexist in the wild."
I didn't know that was his conclusion.
I don't know either. That's just what the guy in SI wrote.
What a different time.
I thought he was going the other way when he started.
Yeah, yeah. A very different time to be bandying about ideas about should we exterminate a species.
Yeah, especially for Sports Illustrated.
People need to broaden their... exterminated at that point anyway.
People need to broaden their minds and understand that sometimes that's what coexisting is.
You got to look at all... You look at it from all sides.
This time. Yes.
That's actually very much coexisting. Like you're coexisting in their belly.
Did you come across that when you were doing your PhD research?
You know what? I did. Thanks for asking, Giannis. It's one of my favorite images of all time is the cover of that magazine. And I've stored it away in my brain for years and years for this little trick.
What's the bear looking like? Is he snarling?
He's roaring. He's sort of head in profile like this. Okay. Teeth up.
Beautiful.
Bigger teeth.
That's the thumbnail right there.
Yeah. Tune in on YouTube to see my face. We're on to question four. Question four is in the category of fishing. Bill Lewis invented this iconic lure by adding BBs to a standard hard bait, resulting in what Outdoor Life magazine once declared to be, quote, the most influential fishing lure of all time. Got some answers, hitting some whiteboards. That's a good sign. Some people puzzling, some people squinting.
Yeah, I'm
Brian, you got this one.
I'm the most confident of this answer of all the ones.
I feel pretty good vibes coming from the left side of the room.
Is this specific, like you'd say, an A5 shotgun?
It's a brand. Yeah, it's a product.
Okay.
It's not like a category or a type of lure. Okay. This would show up on your receipt if you bought one.
It's a good way to set that up, Randall.
Thank you. How was that musical? Sorry, not a musical, a screwball comedy from the 1930s among those who were in attendance this weekend. Phil, knock it out of the park?
It was great.
Phil's a star.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Wonderful.
Show stealer.
We knew that.
Yeah. Phil was electric.
Stealer is what I heard. And electric.
Yep. Yep.
Did you guys shower him with flowers at the end?
No, we showered him with wine. He came to the wine bar afterwards.
Ooh.
And he got Korean fried chicken, I think, and a glass of an old fashioned.
Old fashioned. That's right.
Yeah. That sounds much better than my Saturday night. Corey Calkins over there.
What was
freezing
your,
on the top of a ridge top in 20-mile-an-hour winds?
Mm-hmm. What was your cut
you
of the? What was your cut of the door, Phil?
Oh, I don't find out until after the run of the show.
All right. Looks like we're all ready for the answer. I'll read yours first this time. Brian the Butcher says a rattle trap. Hunter says rattle trap. Corey says rattle...
banger.
Banger.
Hmm.
Spencer says rattle trap. Brody says rattle trap. Cal says rattle trap. Corinne has a question mark. Giannis says rattle trap. The correct answer is rattle trap. Launching what some have called the Rattle Revolution, the Rattle Trap took over the bass fishing scene in the 1970s, and the Bill Lewis Lure Company has since sold more than 150 million of them. Inspiration for the lure's catchy name struck Lewis as he was driving his old Ford station wagon, which he had affectionately nicknamed, any guesses?
The Rattle Trap.
You guys got it.
The Rattle Banger.
The Rattle Trap. You're looking at Corey's answer, I see. Legendary pro angler Roland Martin credits the Rattle Trap as being, quote, very instrumental in my career, and pointed out that, quote, very few bait companies have been able to exist on just one lure. Anybody caught a fish on a Rattle Trap?
I pierced my mother's nose with a Rattle Trap.
Really?
Wow.
Yes, I did. Yes, I did. We're catching.
Was that the bone you were throwing to him?
No. I had no idea. We haven't talked about this yet.
No, we were catching hybrids up at Clark Hill in Augusta. In the afternoon, they'll come and like boil up, and you troll these rattle traps around the outskirts of them, and every line goes. And so I'm trying to like pitch a rattle trap out, goes back, doesn't come forward on the mom's face. Got to push the barb through. Cut it, bring it back out, and I'm upset because that particular size rattle trap was the one they couldn't stand, and now it had, you know, one less set of treble hooks.
Your mother is a saint.
She is a saint.
She still put up with your golf hobby after that ordeal.
That's correct. Yeah, that was that was before golf, so she didn't hold that against me. But.
Fantastic.
Was that what made you take up golf?
No.
Maybe she steered you towards golf from fishing in an event to prevent future puncture wounds.
Yep. Had a few of those. Yeah, I remember the, we used to call them like a Charlie horse, but it was a topwater plug that had the like almost looked like
propellers,
like a torpedo.
It was like a itty bitty, like, anyway, I throw one of those things into the bushes in our neighborhood, and my dad's with me, and I'm trying to get it out. And I finally, you know, set it loose, and he said he heard it whistle by him and then right into the top of my head.
Oh. I had I think it was a rattle trap stuck in a bush, and we were fishing from a canoe in the Boundary Waters, and I chucked it up into the bank, and we paddle over to it, and my dad's trying to get it out, and a gust of wind just blows the canoe into the hooks, and he stuck three fingers together on one treble.
And he just wanted, though, that you blame the wind.
Yeah, it wasn't my fault at all. Mm-hmm. And actually, I wouldn't have grabbed it the way he had. He put himself in that
position.
That's
why you're a doctor.
Yeah. We could have used a doctor on that trip. On to question five. Unless there are any other fun memories we'd like to recall about
rattle trap anecdotes.
Yeah. Question five is in the category of conservation. A proposal to dam this river, by some measures, North America's third largest, 300 miles downstream from the town of Circle at the site of Rampart Canyon, would have created a lake roughly the size of Lake Erie. I'll read that again because it's very poorly worded. A proposal to dam this river, by some measures, North America's third longest, 300 miles downstream from the town of Circle at the site of Rampart Canyon, would have created a lake roughly the size of Lake Erie. There's a lot of context clues in there, guys. If you're not familiar with this whole controversy, you can pick out some out some clues there. And
I only know one town called Circle.
Oh. you're picking up what I'm putting down then. Cal's staring at me. Brody's got an answer. Spencer's got an answer.
I know a couple circles. I don't know any.
How are we feeling on this side of the room?
Poor.
Poor?
Mm. Hungry.
Bottom of a river.
Very hungry.
Mm. I'm feeling pretty hungry, too. You got plans?
Not yet.
Brody's got an answer. Brody's got his board down. Giannis is waiting on an answer. Cal's waiting on an answer.
I don't know.
I'm just going to use this time to apologize to the YouTube audience. I cut to the wrong camera, and I think you just stared at my head for about 10 seconds without
nice.
Me noticing.
What so a
hope
treat.
You, hope you enjoyed the view. Yeah,
you don't need to Easter egg. They should be thanking you. You're a star. You're a
yeah,
local
they're
celebrity.
Like, good. It's a great break from
show
Randall.
Stealing. Electric show stealing.
Oh, yeah. The,
it nice was... head of hair on the kid. I mean, geez. I'd have a frame around it if it was mine.
It was referenced no minimum than I think three times how handsome Phil was in the play. They kept talking about how good looking he was. I think they called him handsome.
Debonair.
Were you in period?
He was the love interest.
Black tie.
Can't teach that.
Well, I think. We need to set this. How would you rate the other people on stage?
Listen,
just go,
this,
just name them.
This
by
was
name.
How they described him. When Phil entered the stage, every character was swooning. The energy changed in the theater.
So it's kind of
is that how your normal life is, Phil?
I was gonna say it's like when he walks into the podcast.
It's my burden to bear. People are constantly putting frames around my hair. It's...
Yeah. I'm gonna help Phil out here and change the subject.
Thank you,
Corey. Answer?
Yep.
Why don't we reveal our answers? We do have a correct answer in the room.
Can we? Right? Can we? Oh, you're going to read the
yes.
Okay, great.
Yeah,
sorry,
I just
Randall.
Wanted to set up that suspense.
Got it. Mm-hmm.
This is, yeah.
Am I correct?
Brian the Butcher says Missouri. Hunter says Missouri. Corey says Columbia. Spencer says Yellowstone. Brody says Colorado. Cal has a blank board. Corinne has a crossed out answer. And Giannis says the Yukon. The correct answer is the Yukon River.
Nice.
Darn it, Yanni.
Good job.
First put forth by the Army Corps of Engineers in 1954, the highly controversial proposal to dam the Yukon at Rampart Canyon, or, quote, the Narrows, entailed a 530-foot high and 4,700-foot long structure. Boosters, including most prominently U.S. Senator Ernest Gruening, hoped it would provide enough cheap electricity to attract industry to Alaska, and if completed, the reservoir would have been the world's largest man-made body of water at an estimated 270 miles long and 80 miles wide. Hunters and anglers from across the country were among the most outspoken critics of the idea, as it would have flooded the sloughs and marshes that make the Yukon Flats one of the most productive waterfowl breeding grounds in North America.
Lake Erie.
Yeah. So that was a clue. There's not a lot of places you could put a lake the size of Lake Erie without flooding some stuff.
By what measure is the Yukon River the third largest?
There's
volume?
Like a length.
You changed the wording of the question since you sent me this email, so that's partially my fault, too.
No, Phil, it's my fault. I feel like this has all been pretty scattershot. and I haven't been as I haven't been as communicative with you.
I just want to let you know it started off great. It's kind of it's unraveling.
Oh, I think this is great. I think
I'm having a great time.
Yeah,
Randall.
Everybody's having a great time.
I've been in your seat. It's a lot of work to put this together.
Oh yeah, I was planning on doing it all yesterday.
Pull yourself together, Randall.
My day fell apart. Phil, we've now been through five questions. We're halfway through our game of trivia. Can we have a score update, please?
Oh, I'd love to. We've got Corey and Corinne with 0 points. They'll get there. And then we've got Hunter, Cal, and Brian all with 1 point apiece. Brody has 2, and tied up in first place are Spencer and Giannis with 3 points.
This is by far and away the worst game I've ever played, I feel. So, congrats, Doctor.
I guess. Cal, I got a couple coming up for you that are you're gonna like these.
Pressure's on.
Do you have a golf bone for Brian?
Big fish bite early.
There's a bone coming later. Okay. Big old bone coming later.
Now this is a family show.
No. please.
Yeah, I've said it before and I'll say it 1,000 times more. If you got a family, and you got people that rely on you, you need to take life insurance seriously. And Policy Genius is the country's leading online insurance marketplace. So with Policy Genius, you can find life insurance policies that start at just $292 per year for $1 million in coverage. Some options offer same-day approval and avoid unnecessary medical exams. Your life insurance policy, you know, that you get at work may not offer enough protection for your family's needs. Policy Genius gives you unbiased advice from a licensed expert support team. Now, this is super convenient, right? Because a lot of times, you know, something like life insurance, you're just going to put it off because you're like, when will I ever have time to do that? I don't even know who to talk to about it. Well, this helps you do it online. Okay, again, you're comparing options from top companies, all right? Check life insurance off your to-do list in no time with Policy Genius. Head to policygenius.com or click the link in the description to get your free life insurance quotes and see how much you could save. That's policygenius.com. Rain or shine, every day is a great day for fishing, right? And you probably got rain gear, but you shouldn't overlook sunny day gear. Columbia PFG Solar Stream Elite Hoodie has you covered on the sunniest day. Man, I was just in Hawaii and I had my Columbia PFG Solar Stream Elite Hoodie with me. And here's the deal. We're in and out of the water all the time, getting in to go spearfishing, getting out, taking the kids to the beach. I'm not going to mess around all day putting sunscreen on, then having to get washed off. I just run a hoodie. I mean, who wouldn't trade a sunburn for a trophy fish? But why do it if you don't have to? Especially when this Solar Stream Elite hoodie is built with broad spectrum UV protection. We're talking UPF 50, and it has airflow, so you don't overheat. And what's the alternative? Putting down the rod every half hour so you can slather on some sunscreen. Seems like an easy choice to me. So if you're going to be spending long days out on the water, and I sincerely hope that you will be, head on over to Columbia.com/PFG and shop all of their performance fishing gear. Hey, Steve here. I want to talk about something crucial for any outdoor enthusiast, which is battery reliability. I've got Interstate batteries powering my gear. I have Interstate batteries in my camper. I run an Interstate battery in my boats. I use Interstate batteries because the last thing I want is to be left powerless. Interstate Batteries isn't just another battery company. They are outrageously dependable. In Alaska, the boat dealer that we use for getting stuff and repairs, he uses Interstate. Whether you're gearing up for hunting season, planning your next RV trip, or getting your boat ready, Interstate has the battery for all your needs. With over 150,000 dealer locations, the power you need is always nearby. Interstate batteries aren't just about power. It's about being prepared for any situation. Don't let a dead battery ruin your adventure. Head over to interstatebatteries.com, use their store locator, and equip yourself with a battery that won't let you down. When you're out in the wild or just on your daily commute, an Interstate battery is your key to a dependable journey.
Question 6 is in the category of cooking. This term refers to the intramuscular fat content in a cut of meat. and is one of the criteria for USDA grading. This term refers to the intramuscular fat content in a cut of meat and is one of the criteria for USDA grading. We've got some answers in the room. Cal, feel good?
Feel good.
Feel better?
This
feel
might be 100%.
Thank you, doctor.
I wanted to get one of those out there in the world.
Yeah, especially after you threw a
but
zero.
It's also one of those that can, you know, if you get the brain blockage, it could stump you. It could stump you.
Randall, tell folks about the question that you wanted to do that was some movie reference with a bumper sticker.
Oh, yeah.
And then you thought it was too obscure.
Yeah, the
just
movie...
ask the question.
Yeah.
I can't. It's not... Well, I could ask the question. Are you familiar with a film where the character says he's got a bumper sticker on his truck? He'd already rather be bow hunting. Do you know this movie?
Nope.
Yeah, so no one would get it. I was going to play this clip. It's one of my favorite clips. Are we all done with the movies kicking and screaming? It's a Noah Baumbach film.
Oh, yeah.
And they get into an argument about a parking spot, and the guy's girlfriend gets out of the truck to yell at the man who's taking her spot, and the character goes, I don't think we should be doing this. He says he'd already rather be bow hunting. Let's just leave him alone. Would have been a 0%er. We've got answers in the room. Brian, the butcher, says marbling. Hunter says marbling. Corey's blank. Spencer, marbling. Brody, marbling. Cal, marbling. Corinne, marbling. Giannis, marbling. The correct answer is marbling.
It's not as much fun when everybody gets on.
Well, Corey didn't get it, so play it.
It's actually more fun.
Don't put those vibes out, Cal.
Cal said it's not as much fun if everyone gets it, so Corey got it wrong. So it's actually more fun.
Yeah.
See, I'm laughing. Yeah. No, it's more fun.
That'd have been a tough one to miss for the new nickname.
According to the tech.
That'd have been in the final nail.
I didn't even make that connection. That could have been your bone, but I got another one for you.
Okay.
According to the Texas A&M AgriLife Extension Service, marbling is the intermingling or dispersion of fat within the lean. The minimum degree of marbling required for carcasses to be graded prime is slightly abundant.
Ooh, that's good.
That narrows it down.
There are all these great descriptors that coincide with the different gradations, and they go from like abundant, moderately abundant, slightly abundant, and they keep going down. And I was just so tickled by something being slightly abundant. it was just such a fun concept for me that I made this a question.
So yeah.
Is there any wild game that has good marbling?
Wild pigs.
Pigs.
I've seen some wild marbling in
some sheep, maybe.
Bears and muskox.
Black bears for sure.
Yeah. No guy looked like they'd have good marbling. But no. I've never been into one.
Did not.
Question 7. I don't have a category for this one, but it could be under gear. Order these cartridges from smallest to largest by bullet diameter.
Oh, can I use my calculator?
No.
from what to what?
From smallest to largest by bullet diameter. We have a .338 Winchester Magnum, .375 H&H, an 8mm Remington Magnum, and a 9.3x62 Mauser.
What's so funny, Yanni?
Randall.
Smallest to largest.
Smallest to largest.
I don't know how I feel about this question.
Why?
I just said I don't know.
Why? But are you?
I'm gonna think about it and give you an answer.
You're not happy about it, or you're not sure if you're happy or
probably
sad about it.
Probably just because I'm a little perplexed right now.
A lot of numbers swirling around in folks' heads. Corinne's got her calculator out. I'm only joking. Only joking. Furiously scribbling.
There's such a guess.
Clock is ticking. Brody's doing the thing where he gets down low and puts his hand over his hat and covers his face with the board.
That's a textbook.
That's
Brody
textbook
move.
Brody working.
Randall couldn't write this whole episode yesterday because he killed a big giant bull, right?
Not a big giant bull, but big enough.
Yeah.
I did. I was going to do all of this preparation that has been evidently absent yesterday afternoon, but I shot a bull at 8 in the morning and got home well after dark. And then I woke up at 2:30 and I just thought about trivia until 4:30. And then I got up and just sat there staring at the screen.
That's prep, Randall, is just thinking about the thing.
I was surprised that you email so late.
Well, I had a similar thing. I was like, I got to get this to Randall before Monday. And so then I was up late last night.
I'm in bed by 9, just so you know.
Didn't How many grizzly bears did you see?
Saw two grizzly bears and heard one in the middle of the night when I jumped out of my tent to go to the bathroom, go and run off through the trees and break a bunch of stuff.
Really?
So, yeah, it was not a, I turned on the longest movie I had on my phone and just let it play noise after that. Jurassic World Dominion. 2 hours and 44 minutes.
Aren't there like that was in animals the, roaring and in distress?
Well, that's, you know, someone pointed that out to me. They're like, the last movie I'd want to watch is people being chased by a giant beast. Yeah. And I said, it didn't even occur to me. I just looked at what Amazon, you know, the automatic downloads, and 2 hours and 44 minutes, I said, I'm just going to play this and turn the volume up and lay there in my bag and stare at the tent. So that was my Saturday night.
I feel like one of the Jurassic movies, they like feed them sheep. So you could have had like sheep.
Yeah, the first Jurassic Park, they feed a
goat.
A goat to a tyrannosaur, but they also feed a cow to the velociraptors. Yeah. That's when Dr. Alan Grant says, you breeding velociraptors or something like that? Yeah, there's that very dramatic opening scene.
Yeah.
And do we have our answers? My computer went to sleep. Why don't we turn our answers over here? Wow, that is just calculus. I think that's an answer just simply intended.
Disregard this.
Oh, I see. You've listed them. Oh. Yes. 8mm. Sorry, Phil.
I didn't put letters down.
I will do. You do. You're going to have to keep track of this.
That's fine.
Brian the Butcher says 8mm, 338, 375, 9.3x62. Hunter says 338, 8mm, 9.3x62, 375. Corey says 9.3x62, 8mm, 338, 375. Spencer says 8mm, 338, 375, 9.3x62. I feel like I'm recounting orders at a restaurant
or something. We can tell, Phil, if we get it right.
Brody says 8mm, 338, 9.3x62, 375. Cal says 8mm, 338, 375, 9.3x62. Corinne says 9.3x62, 338, 375. 8mm. Giannis says 8mm, 9.3, 338, 375.
Are you having fun?
Oh, I was planning on just going CADB. The correct answer.
No.
Sorry. Would you like?
Sorry, Randall. I'm messing this up just as much as you.
Do we need to? Okay.
Keep going.
The correct answer is CABDB. Oh, that's 8.
Brody got it right. Brody's the only one who got it right.
Dang it.
The 9.3 got us.
Can you read the numbers instead of CABD?
Eight millimeters is the smallest.
I'm all confused because of all these numbers. The correct answer is CADB. That's 8mm Remington Magnum, 338 Winchester Magnum, 9.3x62 Mauser, and 375 H&H.
What is the diameter on a 9.3x62 Mauser?
Close to a 375.
It's 0.366.
0.366. Okay.
Yeah.
So I knew a 7mm was a 0.284.
Every millimeter is like four, like the equivalent of four.
I got 4 point something here.
So
4 point something.
A 338 is an 8.6, so like an 8.6 blackout. And then an 8mm is 3.23, like a 325 WISM. So if you knew one or more of those, you could have sort of played around and fudged the numbers. My best friend, Christian Hughes, had a Winchester Model 70 in 9.3x62 Mauser stolen from his home in Seattle. It never turned up.
Bummer.
But a handgun that was taken in the same robbery was returned to him by the Seattle Police Department after it was used in court as evidence in a homicide trial.
Oh, did he keep it?
He sold it. He sold it because he thought it was weird. And then the guy that bought it was like, he was like kind of into it. You know, like war relics or something. It was pretty strange. But yeah, that was...
I think I'd hold on to it.
Yeah, he had a whole cabinet full of guns. These people broke into his house and they rolled it down the stairs and knocked out his front door with the cabinet and put it in the back of a Honda Accord and drove
was
off.
Was it you?
Where there's a no. will, there's a
yeah,
way.
It seems oddly specific.
His neighbor,
you know all
his neighbor, his neighbor watched the whole thing.
Yeah, we were saying
happen.
His back door was unlocked. It's crazy.
Question eight.
So you came up with this when you were going through the Sammy book, right? You're like, oh, there's my reloading
no,
book.
No, no. I always think it's fun to memorize the what's what from metric to standard.
I agree, Randall.
Did you know you had that, Brody, or was any of that guessing?
No, I knew it.
I think cartridges and all that stuff is ripe for trivia.
Mm-hmm.
Question eight comes to us in the category of fishing. This fishing equipment manufacturer got its name when its Swedish predecessor, AB Orfabriken, didn't want to throw anyone off, which translates to Watch Factory LLC, merged with its U.S.-based distributor.
That's the question? What was the question?
What's question eight now?
This fishing equipment manufacturer got its name when its Swedish predecessor, AB Orfabriken, which translates to Watch Factory LLC, merged with its U.S.-based distributor.
Brody, you got this?
Mm-hmm.
We have an answer from Brody.
Mm.
Everybody else is...
You do, Brody?
I know.
Yep.
What part of it did you know?
All of it.
He knew it right away.
Let's see. But I could flip it over and I could look like a real ass, I guess.
Oh, Brody, I feel confident. I think you got it. I didn't know you were going to be here. Otherwise, I would have...
Wasn't supposed to
you
be.
You wouldn't ask this question?
Well, it's one thing to come up with trivia, and then as you're reading the questions, you have a sense of, like, who's doing well and who might, you know, like...
Yeah, Spencer, I want to host sometime. Can I host?
For sure.
All right.
It's like, you know, selecting your pitcher based on who's up at bat, right?
That's good. Mm-hmm.
This fishing equipment manufacturer got its name when its Swedish predecessor, AB Orfabriken, which translates to Watch Factory LLC, merged with its U.S.-based distributor.
Let's flip
the boards over, folks.
Mm.
Yes. Ah,
dang it, I was going
to... Yeah, damn. The
answer was sort of in the question. AB... Let's go around the room. Brian the Butcher says Penn International, Hunter Blank, Corey Shakespeare, Spencer, Rapala.
International is what had me.
Brody,
being wrong.
Abu Garcia, yeah, Cal's already erasing. Corinne's
panel.
Turned her board over and Yana says Shimano.
Right. Shimano.
Shimano. Thank you.
How's that feel, Randall?
It's good.
Shimano.
You know, it's good. I was getting ahead of myself. I'm all flustered because I did the thing in the wrong order again. And so I appreciate the correction.
He appreciates it.
AB Orfabriken was founded in 1921 as a manufacturer of precision timepieces and various instruments, including taxicab meters. 2 decades later, they began to produce fishing reels as the founder's son was an enthusiastic angler. So that's the Abu. Where do we get Garcia? In the 1950s, the New York-based Garcia Corporation began to import and market Abu reels, including the signature Ambassador baitcasting reel, which was introduced at the New York World's Fair in 1954. Abu acquired the Garcia Corporation in 1980, at which point the iconic brand name stuck.
Is there still a World's Fair?
That's
in
a great question.
Chicago, right?
Well, that's like...
Well, yeah, it used to rotate every...
Yeah.
It used to rotate every now. I'll be honest, that's one area of knowledge that completely eludes me. I find World's Fairs to be very curious.
Yeah. Like you read that book, The Death in the White City or whatever? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I used to live in that neighborhood.
Oh, cool.
Hyde Park, yeah. I actually didn't know when I was coming up with this question. I just thought, I have no idea where Abu Garcia comes from.
Mm-hmm.
And I looked it up and I thought that was interesting.
My dad's got a couple old ambassadors.
Good.
Famous reel.
Good.
Good. Yeah, what does that have to do?
The ambassador reel you just
yeah,
talked about?
Yeah.
I'm kidding.
Well, AB Orfabriken, as we all know, ABU. That's the
emblem. Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Phil, can we have a score update? That's Brody question eight. It's
there.
Time for an update.
Well, that's some good men. Yeah, it's a way to remember. We've got Corey, Corinne, Hunter, Cal, and Brian are all eliminated from the running, but we have Spencer, Giannis with 4 points apiece, and then in first place with 5 is Brody Henderson.
All right. Well, it's anybody's game still with two questions left. Yep. Question 9 comes to us in the category of cooking. This type of pepper, often used as a filling in stuffed green olives, lends its name to both a loaf-style lunch meat as well as a tangy cheese spread found on one of Augusta National Golf Club's most iconic concession items.
Could have had this a little earlier in the lineup.
Yeah.
Made us feel a little better.
You know what? I planned to reorder my questions to sort of account for the difficulty of each, but then I had to send them to Phil, and I just ran out of time to do that.
But then you didn't. Yep.
Yeah. Seems like we've all got it. Why don't we flip the boards over? You're all right. It's pimento.
On the board.
This was the only golf-related question I could think of. Often confused with cherry peppers, pimentos are large, red, heart-shaped chili peppers, and the namesake of both pimento loaf and pimento cheese. According to Taste of the South magazine, the pimento cheese sandwich at the Masters has become as famous as the tournament's green trophy blazers. If you'd like to put a wild spin on this, watch this one. No, if you'd like to put a wild spin on this Southern staple, you can find Lucas Leaf's recipe for fish sliders with pimento cheese at themeateater.com.
Have you had
Randall. A pimento cheese sandwich at the Masters?
I have, yes. They're delicious.
What's the verdict? Oh, they're
good. Yeah, they're great. They're great. I wouldn't call them more famous than the actual green jacket.
I think
that's a little bit.
It's coming from Taste of the South magazine.
I would think someone who came up with the pimento cheese sandwich is probably who made that proclamation.
Could be. $1.50. Well,
I'd like to know which one's been around longer.
The pimento cheese sandwich or
the green jacket?
The green jacket. Green jacket is 1930s Bobby Jones.
Right.
Pimento cheese sandwich
got to be.
I have no
earlier idea. Than that. I would think.
Pimento cheese makes a good burger, too.
When I asked you about this Friday, I was totally, trying to think, okay, what might he ask? And I thought, maybe he'll do a birdie is one under, eagle, two. What's next?
Yeah. It's the bird with the largest wingspan in North America. This came from the board game.
That would be brilliant.
We have this question in the board game.
Yeah. That would have been brilliant.
Wow. Mm. I don't know the answer.
You would never get one of these, Yanni.
Albatross.
David Chang recommends putting the chicken sandwich and the pimento cheese sandwich together.
Combining.
Yeah, the Masters concessions are legendary.
I'm going in 2024.
Are you?
Beers are cheap, too.
And I'm very excited. Is it true that all of the food is wrapped in green paper?
So yeah, it's all super.
So if it goes on the ground, the cameras don't pick it up and it looks like... But I mean, the jackets are green, too, and that's obviously
a lot of the bird noise is piped in.
Yeah, the theories are wild. Like, have you ever seen a squirrel on the
I've never seen a bird, a squirrel, nothing.
They should pipe in some wild turkey gobbles.
That'd be nice.
It's springtime.
Be a nice touch.
Right into backswing.
Since everybody got that right, I don't think our leaderboard has changed much, Phil, but if I'm wrong, please tell.
Nope, we've got Giannis and Spencer with 5, Brody with 6. So Brody's got to slip up, and they've got to
pull it
together.
That'd be fun. Question 10 comes to us in the category of hunting. Which 20th century U.S. president shot his first deer at the Texas ranch of his running mate only 9 days after his election?
A fun question.
Yeah, it's a good one, Randall.
Thanks, Phil.
Running mate.
A lot of sort of hums and haws. Maybe some breakthroughs, some revelations in the Cal's furrowing his eyebrows and
murmuring.
You know this, Brody?
I feel pretty good.
Oh. Ooh. The last board is... No, Corinne's thinking.
Oh, wait. Do I feel good?
Brody seems to have been feeling good and now no longer is certain.
I don't think I know my running mates well enough.
He's doing the thing again.
Is everyone done? I'll make it interesting. Let's turn them over.
The butcher says John F. Kennedy. Hunter says W. Corey says Bush Sr. Spencer says Bush. Brody says JFK. K Cal says George W. Corinne says Ronald Reagan. Giannis says George Bush. There is a correct answer in the room. It's John F. Kennedy.
Dang it.
Brody.
Who was his running mate, Brody? Do you know?
Lyndon Johnson.
LBJ.
A Texan.
Okay. There we go.
Smart.
Famous Texan.
According to William Manchester's 1967 book, Death of a President, Lyndon Johnson brought the mount of the buck to the White House and insisted it be displayed in the Oval Office. Now, whether or not JFK took to the experience remains a point of contention. Relying on interviews with Jacqueline Kennedy, Manchester maintained that Kennedy was haunted by the memory of shooting the deer. Upon hearing this version of events, LBJ was recorded as saying, "Forcing the poor man to go deer hunting? Hell, he not only killed one deer, he insisted on killing a second."
I like that version.
I like that version, too.
I do, too. No need for a tiebreaker. I believe Brody is our champion.
2-point win he had.
Can we hear the tiebreaker question?
Very sad applause.
How many?
Just for fun. Yeah, you got some time.
Let's throw it out there. Did I go too fast?
I was asking.
Do I need
Cal
to kill time?
This was a pretty long episode. It was good.
Average. Of our 154 national forests, how many begin with the letter S?
Oh wow!
Wow.
Shoshone.
Sequoia.
Sequoia National Forest?
Way off.
I'm looking for a number.
Yeah, I know.
Not a name.
Seven.
The answer is 19.
Jeez.
Wow.
Brody, as today's champion, you're today's champion. I just phrased that incorrectly, so it sounded as if I had won. But as today's champion, you can give $500 to the conservation organization of your choosing.
Do you feel like you won, Randall?
You know, it went better than I thought.
Randall, you did great.
It's going to take a day or two for me to fully process, and then I'm going to listen and read all the
comments. You're very entertaining.
Thanks, Brody. I'm trying to bring it.
Mm-hmm.
where would you like the money to go to, Brody?
We just got off a sweet 2-day youth hunt, Montana youth hunt for mule deer, so we're going to do the Mule Deer Foundation.
Timely.
Mm-hmm.
Wonderful.
Yes.
The Mule Deer Foundation thanks you, I
assume.
Hope so. Spencer, it says here in my notes now that I'm supposed to throw it to you to plug the tournament, which comes next week.
Next week. It's my favorite stretch of the year. We have 4 episodes. It's the Meat Eater Trivia Tournament. We're going to crown a champion of Meat Eater Trivia for 2023. We start with 20 players. By the end of it, we have one person who gets their name on the plaque. That's coming up. We have 2 qualifying episodes, followed by 2 championship episodes. The championship is a 2-part episode. I'm very excited. Please go listen.
Fantastic. Thanks, gang. This was fun.
Randall, you did great.
Thanks, Randall.
You did very good.
Hey, we're going to take a little break here and talk about Interstate batteries. Now, if you're like me, enjoying the great outdoors, you need gear that is as reliable as it gets. That's why I power my adventures with Interstate batteries. I use Interstate batteries in my boats. I use Interstate batteries in my camper. Great for your truck, too. From Alaska to Montana, they're outrageously dependable. Battery is essential. With over 150,000 dealer locations, finding one is easy. For all your vehicles, land or sea, choose Interstate. Head to interstatebatteries.com and find your power today. Hey, if you follow wildlife news at all, you're probably aware that the island of Maui has an incredible abundance of axis deer, so much so that they're causing ecological damage. Well, Maui Nui venison is thinning out some of those axis deer herds and delivering venison sticks and fresh cuts to your door. Visit MauiNuiVenison.com. That's MauiNuiVenison.com. Use promo code MeatEater for 20% off your order.